sitting here with Jed Baker from Buster Shuffle. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
How are you doing?
Okay. All things considered, with a very difficult time, the whole world is going through, I'm okay. So, and I hope you guys in Germany are doing okay.
Yes. And how did you get through the pandemic so far?
It's been difficult. Of course, we, at the start of the pandemic, we did a charity single that we recorded for the World Health Organization. And all the musicians who contributed to the record did it at their homes around the world, which was very a nice spirited thing for everyone to do. And it was a really unusual thing to do because not a single engineer, musician, producer, no one had any physical contact, of course. So that was a great project to put together, a challenging project, but very enjoyable because we had people from America, UK, Germany, Italy. So that was the first stage of lockdown. Then in the summer, we came out of lockdown for a bit so we could get together as a band, rehearse, record, write a little bit, and then we've gone back into lockdown. So it's like the start where everyone's in isolation. We're still trying to work and record a little bit, write a little bit, but it's very, it's not difficult, it's very just different. It's not inspiring, so it's very strange. We're trying to stay as busy as possible in this crazy, you know, place that we're all in. So,
and the charity single you talked about, it's about a boy from Pakistan.
Yeah.
How came the idea to make this project?
Sure. Two of my sisters work for the NHS in England as a nurse, and one's the ambulance. So in the lockdown, when the virus arrived, everyone was very scared. There was very little information, and they were going out working every day, doing a dangerous job. And I was at home. We were all at home because we were told to stay at home by the government, obviously. That's all we could do. But that inspired me to speak with Vom from the Totenhosen and some friends to say, come on, we can do something with the punk rock community. And Vom, you know Vom Ritchie, I'm sure you met him. He's just the best guy. He's just like, Jet, it's a brilliant idea. You can do this. And then so we started asking friends to get involved. And the inspiration was Unsung Heroes because of, I guess, doctors and nurses in every country that were going out and going to work during this very scary, dangerous time. So that was the Unsung Hero. We liked the idea. And then the story of Iqbal was just a tragic story that we had heard of and what he had been through and what he achieved as a brave little boy. So it was a nice, it was a good person to sing about because we wanted to maybe highlight the story to a lot of people that had never heard of the story, and some had, but the people who hadn't were really touched by what a brave boy he was. So that was nice to have told his story, even though it's tragic. So that was the idea. And we, after all the costs and posting it around the world and manufacturing it, we sold, I think, 400 or 500 copies and gave £3,000 to the World Health Organization. So that was a nice thing, feeling.
That's pretty good. Yes, good idea. I read about it yesterday because I prepared for the interview, and I thought, whoa, I didn't realize that what it was about. So until yesterday. So
yeah. We had some good, Vorm from the Totenhosen got involved, and Ingo from Do Not Sang, co-sang the whole song with me. He was one of the first. Ingo's a beautiful guy, and he's just like, yeah, great. And he did, you know, he sang it and recorded it. And so we managed to even get a video for the song, which was a challenge. And then the Dorton Olsen shit shared it on their social page, which was cool, on Instagram and Facebook. They premiered the video, so it was a, you know, it's you always wish to reach more and more people, but that was incredible to sell, 500 singles, 7-inch singles. Nowadays, we wouldn't be able to do that on our own had we not had Flogging Molly, Mighty Boss Stones, Do Nots, all those bands on it. So, very proud. We're very proud of it, and I'm glad it was a challenge, but we went for it, and made it happen.
But you only did it because of the lockdown. That was not a plan. It's just happened.
It literally happened in lockdown. We must be able to do something. I've got to do something. I cannot just sit home for how long was it? It was like 2-3 months just at home and not be planning something, a tour or a single or doing anything. So it was like, we've got to do something. And the idea, you know, the chat with Vom, and then it just built. And then it was like, you know, Olga from the Toy Dolls is involved. And then Talco. Thomas, so suddenly the people started getting involved, and then Rhoda Dakar in England, you know, she was, we asked as many friends as we could, and most of them said yes, which is great.
Oh, pretty good. And now you are having a new release, which is an old release. It's coming out on Friday, I guess.
Yep.
It's remastered re-release of the album, the first album.
Yes, correct. Our Night Out. So it's 10. It's its birthday, 10th birthday, and again on lockdown, we were like, we would have normally probably done London, maybe Cologne and Berlin or Hamburg, just a couple of cities, just for not a big tour, but just a party. So 10th birthday, go do a show in London, show in Berlin.
Playing the whole album or
exactly. That was the plan, to play the album from start to finish, and then the album's under 30 minutes, so we'd have to play some other songs, but we'd do the album properly from start to finish. But of course, we're in this crazy position, so we decided we still wanted to do something, so we thought, let's re-release it. We remixed it, and we've added a couple of bonus tracks and added a few bits of instrumentation to the original record, just to give it a little bit of a revamp. So that's what we decided to do, because we can't tour or do anything else.
What is the biggest difference to the old version?
Yeah, so that it's probably that the mix makes it sound a little different, maybe a bit fuller. And then we've added the first album never had any organ, and we've actually added a little bit of organ on there. I don't know why we never decided to do it. So I remember thinking we should put organ, and then it didn't happen. But we've added that now, which is nice. Not a lot, but just in places to give it a bit of vibe. And also the bonus tracks. They were songs that we were playing live all the time when we were writing this album, when we were playing pubs in around London. And it's nice to see those songs, recorded and going on a record 10 years later, because all we had was old demos. So we'd never recorded.
Okay, that were old songs. No new songs, but old songs that were never released.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Old songs never released, and all we have is very old recordings of like bad rehearsal room stuff. So they've come to life, which is really nice.
I think two new songs. Don't Sign Up Today and In the Name of What.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the Name of What. Yeah. Don't Sign Up Today is about not joining the army. I won't name names, but a friend or family wanted to join the army, and we're like, don't do it. And then In the Name of What is just about life in London, really.
Okay. Is it right? It's on your own record label?
Yeah.
It's new.
This album was originally out on Century Media, and we gave them the record for 10 years. They owned that record for 10 years. And obviously that's expired. So now the record has come back to us. So we didn't really want to give it to another record label straight away. We're like, no, we're going to keep this for ourselves. So that inspired us to create our own record label, which is really nice. And, you know, we might use it again for more of our music, or maybe some other bands down the line. We have to see. So the possibility is there because we've got the structure. So it'd be nice to do some new bands as well. But yeah, one thing at a time, I think.
It's called Do Nothing Records.
Do Nothing, yeah. Yes,
because of the special songs, I guess.
Special songs, and also our second album, we went for that Do Nothing, which was obviously, yeah, the special song. We like, there's a lot of people in the music industry that do nothing, so we just thought, yeah, let's do our own label and call it Do Nothing. keep the consistency.
So it makes sense in two ways.
Two ways, yeah.
And the specials, I've got here two albums, which came out in the late 70s. I think you know both.
Yeah.
And which one do you prefer, the specials or Manners?
I can't answer that, can I? I can't. Oh, no. Oh, I'm going to be, I think maybe the specials. I love Madness. Oh, they're both just, it's impossible. It's like, what do you enjoy more, wine or beer? It's like, I really like both.
I prefer the specials as well, because it's more
it's got the punk
links to punk rock, I think, for me, because it's more political, in a political way.
Mm. I think that's it. I like the punky element of the specials and the attitude, but I do love the beautiful songwriting, the actual song craft of the Madness songs, and the pop element is so good. And they are so different, but they're both so good in their own way. It's just two incredible bands with brilliant albums. So,
When I listened to Buster Shuffle, I was remembered to the old Madness stuff more than specials. I thought more.
Because the piano with Buster Shuffle.
Maybe
we always have the piano, and like Madness took piano, heavily piano, where specials was organ. They didn't really have that. So sonically, when you hear the piano, you're kind of like, yeah, okay, that's a bit Madnessy. With the London accent as well. Suggs has got London accent. So
I think you haven't been born when the songs came out. So when did you?
I don't think so. No, I wasn't born. So I heard those records through my older brothers playing it. That's how I have two older brothers, and that's my exposure was growing up. And they were always playing, like, you know, specials, Madness. And then it went into the Police and or everything. So that's, my musical education.
What age was it? How old were you?
So I was born in the early 80s, so those songs were being played throughout the 80s, really.
Yeah, yes.
When was that album out? 1979?
1979, both, yeah.
It was 80, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. When it was out, I wasn't born, but when I grew up, it was there, being played.
So your brothers, but are they much older than you? Or... did they catch the songs later?
I think they caught, they're not much older. They caught the songs later. I think I don't know what year, was Baggy Trousers on that first record?
Baggy Trousers?
But that's the one that every schoolboy. I think when Baggy Trousers was played by, it's later. So that's sort of, you know, when schoolboys start singing that, that's my brother's introduction to Madness. So that's 1980. But when he, so he, yeah, he would have been singing that then and for the next few years, enjoying it. And yeah, Baggy Trousers, I think, played in England at every school disco when you were little. So it's part of your psyche. It's an anthem.
Yes, everybody knows it. It's a classical, and it. Mm-hmm. I think in London it's be more classical than here. But I think a lot of people here know it as well.
Yeah.
When did you realize that there won't be any festivals this year?
We had to reschedule we had to cancel a whole UK tour, and we had to reschedule the London show from April to November. And I think probably, I don't know, in the summer at some point we were like, there's no chance anything's going to happen. I mean, some social distance shows have had to start up in UK, and I saw some in Germany, but we got offered some festivals in England, social distance, and then we were like, shall we, shan't we? And we decided just not to do it. And next year we've been offered a few social distance shows that may be normal shows, but I don't know. I don't think it's worth the trouble and travel. And is it irresponsible to be flying to Germany or Europe to do a show when there's reduced numbers and the vaccine, you know, it's like, so I think for us, it's just a matter of waiting. To be honest, until there's the vaccine and that starts to, you know, have an effect, a positive effect.
What do we think about the traveling? Might be more difficult after Brexit is full in.
Yeah, it happens. Brexit is just there's no other way. It's a fucking disaster. It's the most stupid fucking thing. Unfathomable. It's like we've been coming to Germany for what? Well, 10 years, I guess. 10 years, I think we might have done one or two shows before our night out, where you just get in your van and you drive and you do a show. And to think that is going to be, is not happening anymore, is still crazy. It makes me very angry and very sad. And a lot of English musicians the same. I don't think you'll find a single English musician who has thought Brexit was a good idea. Because it's just not a good idea. It's going to make it difficult. It's going to make it more expensive. It's going to stop the opportunities for young bands to do what we did, just to get. Because if we need a visa to work, that's going to be expensive. But it could be expensive. We don't know. And it takes away an opportunity, you know. And also, for I know there's not a lot of German bands that come to the UK, but there was always that opportunity. If you wanted to come over and do some shows, you could get some gigs, books, and just get in the van with your friends and drive. And now the bureaucracy.
That's more
all
difficult.
The other shit that comes with it. It's. It'll be more difficult. And for what? For no reason, for no benefit. The thing is that drives me mad is that it's like, if someone can just tell me where the good bit is, just tell me where the good bit is for Germany or for England or, you know, or for France, just where is the, who wins? I mean, I think in England there's going to be a few very, very rich businessmen who will use this opportunity to make a lot of money, and that they may be the only people who will be okay. It will be more difficult. Will we be able to keep coming out? I hope so, but we have to see what the negotiations are, because we can't come out and lose money.
I think,
which is my fear.
I think you know, for a band, like Buster Shuffle, maybe it's the problem is not so big, because you do a lot of shows in you on the mainland, and so you you have to get one visa, and you know how to get it, and you know what happens. You have, but for other bands who play one t- two or three shows in Germany, maybe. Yeah. The work, the administrative overload is too much.
Costs and that. And that's a real shame. So, yeah, we always say fuck Brexit, and we still think that. We still love all our friends and fans and family and like who are all in, you know, all over Europe, all over the world, Europe. But it's just like, you know, we can't let this stupid political scenario stop the community. So that's something I have to try to stay positive with. And again, chatting, I chat a lot with my good friend Von Ritchie, and that's something he's like, Jet, this is fucking crazy, but we've got to stay positive and just focus on the music. And hopefully then there will be a way. Hopefully there will be a way.
Mostly there's a way. And what's your favorite festival in Europe?
I think my favorite festival, recent festival that we played, and I was told it would become my favorite before playing it. They're like, this will become your favorite festival, was Punk Rock Holidays in Slovenia. And that's because it's in the most beautiful place. So if you know it, you know why. The beautiful place. It's a small, it's not that small, but it's a small community, and it's always sold out. And the river, it's by the river in the mountains, and you can swim, and it's just like perfect. So that is really, really special, and doing that. And we really enjoyed that experience. So that was my ultimate, I think.
And what do you think is the best slot for a band to like you to play on a festival? Is it the opener or the headliner?
It's always nice to headline a festival, but opening is always hard. And we did that at Punk Rock on the main stage. We opened the main stage. But lots of people came and we had great time. So I think later, it doesn't matter for us. We're not like, you know, we need to headline. You just want people to have an opportunity to have a few beers. You need them to, so it doesn't matter what time of day, as long as the bar has been open for an hour, because then they'll enjoy Buster Shuffle if they've had a couple of drinks. If they're there and it's first and nothing's open and they're like completely, as we say, stone cold sober, then they're not going to enjoy the experience as much. You need to be able to get your foot tapping and start bobbing and dancing. So we're a dance band.
What's the first thing you do when you come back from a tour? Is there something like a ritual or something like this?
Normally it'd be go to a pub. I live very near to a pub, very nice pub. And it'd be have dinner and drink some Guinness and then go to bed very early. And then try to sleep for 2 or 3 days. I mean, that's the thing with touring. People, it's good fun, and people think, yeah, it's lots of drink, and it's brilliant seeing lots of cities. I love it. It's the best job, but it also is very, very tiring. So when I get back, I need to rest. I need to drink and then sleep for a few days. So that's always my preferred preferred ritual.
What kind of pub is it?
Very pub good or? English pub, like classic.
Classic, okay.
Just a normal pub. It's very old. It's got like a very low roof, and then the roof is like that. Wood everywhere. Stone floor. Lots of old men drinking ale and Guinness, and it's got a nice beer garden as well. So that's where I can just go and wind down, and that's my normal ritual. You'd love it. You'd love it.
Yeah. What's the name of it?
It's called the Forest Gate Inn.
Forest Gate Inn. Okay. How many days in of the year are you on tour regular?
Before lockdown.
Yeah, of course.
Where are we? 2019 was one of our busiest years. It was really busy. We did Flogging Molly. We did Do Nots. Did Our Raptors. No, that was there. Lots of festivals. I think we did like yeah, I think like 70 shows or something, 70 or 80 gigs. So it's a lot. And that was without America as well. So it's just Europe and UK. So it depends coming out of lockdown. I don't know. We may not be able to travel for a long time. We may come and just do one or two cities, or there might be a whole Europe tour, just some shows in Germany. With Brexit and COVID, is like, who knows?
We all hope for 21.
Yeah.
I saw you told your top 10 albums at the fanzine Away From Life, German fanzine.
There, yeah. Yeah. Is it out, is it?
Yes. I saw it yesterday.
I'll have a look. I remember.
Do you remember which records you recommend?
Not really. I'll have a look. Away From Life, news, best of 20 reviews. What did I say? Remind me.
I can't remember all of them, but the Specials were on the list, and The Clash, that was a classic. Motorhead.
It might not have made it. Yeah, the Motorhead records, just because that Ace of Spades is like the best punk rock song just ever. Relentless song. Brilliant. Yeah, so you've had a look at that. Did you, any of the albums on there you like? Specials, obviously.
Yes, obviously. Of course. It's one of my favorite albums.
Yeah. So I found it. I've got Clash,
London Calling, yes, of course. But what is the best song from it?
From London Calling? Mm. Oh, gosh. I mean, I love most of this. London Calling, maybe the Brand New Cadillac, Jimmy Jazz, don't know. The album is the perfect album. It's like asking your first question of, what's your favourite, Specials or Madness is impossible.
Yes. For me, I think it's Guns of Brixton. I like very much. It's
Guns of Brixton.
One of my favourite.
Spanish Bombs I like as well.
Great band, definitely.
Spanish Bombs, yeah. But let's have a look at my list then. So then I went for a bit of Sly and the Family Stone, which is a funk, old funk record. Yeah, Stevie Wonder. and Desmond Dekker. To Talk Norsen, that was because I don't understand what they sing about. And then I've got Singing and Learning English with Vaughn. It's a bit of a mixed bag, that, right?
That's
Lots of different stuff on there. So I was going to say, we really listen when we're on tour. Our bus is like, I've been in with some other bands, and it's always like punk rock in the background, just punk rock, blah, blah, blah. It's like, on our tour bus, it's like the mix of music getting played is crazy. Sometimes it's really heavy stuff that I don't like really like, and all that stuff. And then other times it's Desmond Dekker, and then sometimes it will be like, I don't know, just world music. And so it's nice. I think that's something about us. We like everything. We try to listen to everything.
And are you buying music? Are you collecting music?
I have records that I like, and but I don't collect them. So I can't pretend I'm like a vinyl crazy man. But the ones that I, albums that I've inherited and albums I've bought along the touring years, I pop in and get, it's always nice to, it's always nicer to listen on the record player to the songs I love. So, but it's not like spinning 24/7, and I do listen to music sometimes from my phone or my headphones.
Mm.
Which is bad, but it's the technology.
What was the last band that flashed you?
What do you mean? That I bought, sorry.
No, not that you heard and thought, wow, that's great, that's fantastic.
It's the last band that really blew me away. Like, I was like, whoa. Oh, I don't know. Where you get a real, like, shit, this is, I think it was kind of, for me personally, in our scene as well, it was the, I think I mentioned it in that record as well, my 10 records, it was the Interrupters, I played keyboards with him and I had to learn the set. And obviously I knew the single because that was heavily played and promoted. But the rest of the album, I was like, whoa. Because, you know, sometimes you just hear the single and you think, yeah, that's cool, but it's not for me. But then when I heard the rest of the album and the energy of the band, I was just like, whoa. And then when we played with them in this year in February in UK, we supported them. I said to Terry, the drummer in Buster Shuffle, when you see Interrupters live and you hear it live, you're going to go, the energy, you're going to go, whoa. And he literally, the first night of the tour, just went, whoa, this band, it's the records are great. The live thing is just energy and sonically great. And that made me go, whoa, more than any other new band I've seen, especially live, but also on recording. It's just they've got a wall factor about it. And I didn't think, because I'm not mad on American bands, it's not like, you know, I've always been, my ear has always been more tuned into the English sound, and but I like American punk rock and bits, but, you know, not maybe not American ska or something. I like Jamaican ska and English ska, but the Interrupters just did give me a bit of a... But I don't think they've done much in Germany yet. I think they've come over one or two times. I'm sure they will come and do a German tour, but it's like, it is, yeah, the sound, the production, the energy is just like, yeah, I was like, woo.
And,
yeah.
But they got very popular from one day to the other, I think, more or less. I think the first album,
yeah,
nobody realized, but with the second one, they get...
it went very big.
Yeah.
It's the single Kerosene. Mm. They had a single Kerosene,
yeah,
and that's when it just exploded up for that. So,
when you take a bath, what music do you listen to?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't listen to music in the bath. So, and I don't have many baths. I tend to go in the shower.
Ah.
Quick man in the shower. But if I did want to listen to music in the bath, and I really wanted to get some zone, I'd probably go for, if we're having a bath, I'll probably bath listening to Beethoven or Mozart or something like that. Try and be all sophisticated, have candles. I don't like, when I want to relax, I can't listen to music with language. I still like melody, but as soon as there's language, stimulates a part of the brain, so you can't, because you're thinking about, if he's singing a song about, or they are singing a song about, telling a story, you're immediately listening to the story. So I can listen to instrumental music, which tends to be like classical or jazz music, or music in another language, because then I can't understand, so I'll just listen to the music and I don't think about what they're singing about. So sometimes like other languages are quite good, because I'll just enjoy the melody and the music rather than listen to what the singer is talking about. So,
and when you are down, what kind of music do you listen?
Motorhead. Get myself back up, fighting. Blah! Something upbeat, get me going.
And so we are at the end of the year, and do you have any plans for 2021?
Yeah, 21, maybe, I don't know. We just hope that there's a vaccine and we can get back to some sort of normal. Would be very, very good for us all. As a band, if we can, there may be a couple of shows, but there's no plans to do anything big. And then 2022, we would hope to have a new record come out that we're kind of writing a little bit now and recording and demoing. So that will be our plan, is to have a new record come out in 2022.
Okay.
Fingers crossed we will be able to tour it in 2022. Album number 5. Wow. How did that happen?
And it's again with only with a small lineup, or when you started you were a big,
yeah,
something like a big band with I think 7 or 8 people. and one day there was a cut, and you are only four people right now.
Yeah. Well, actually, we started out as three, then four, and then when Our Night Out got released in Germany, in Europe, by that point, we had picked up an organ player and two girls, and we're like, yeah, come on. So, but when we first came to Germany and Europe, we were like seven, so everyone's like, oh, it's another big ska band. But then people stopped, some people left, some people didn't want to do it, and the more we toured, the harder it was for all seven people to do it, because it's not, you know, it's not like we're getting the money that specials and big bands. So it was, everything was done very, you know, it was very hard on the money financially, hotels and everything. So so we went back to four, and now we've been at four for 3 years, which is where we started. But some people remember the first shows we did in Germany, I think. Yeah, our headline shows, because we supported Broilers as a four-piece, and then the album came out, and then we went up to seven. So some people in Bochum, I think the first time we were seven people. Seven-piece band.
One other question is, when was the last time you did something for the first time?
When was the last time I did something for the first time? Oh, gosh, I can't remember. When's the last time I did something for the first time? Probably when I jumped out of an aeroplane in Australia 2.5 years ago.
Oh.
It's the only time and the first time. Oh, it's my dog, Edna.
Oh, what kind of dog is it?
I can show you. Come here. She's very little. She's a security dog. She's a mix of everything. I don't even know. Edna, you don't know what you are.
Sweet.
She's not a puppy. She's very little. She thinks she's tough sometimes, but she's not.
Very often with the small dogs, the smaller they are, the louder they.
The big attitude.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
We can do some either or things. I tell you either or, and you tell me what you prefer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Beatles or Stones?
Beatles.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Black or white?
Black.
The sea or the mountains?
Sea.
Festival or club?
Festival.
Why? Why is it?
Because you get to see other bands. I like that, and I like the community. Festival, if you get a good one, you get to see bands you like, you get to see friends that you might not have seen. I just like there's a buzz about a festival. I love club shows, but the right festival is cool, super cool.
And last one, tour or studio?
Tour. Again, same answer, just to see people and see cities and community, and that's better. I like the studio, but I like being going places.
Okay, so anything you want to tell our listeners?
Buy our record, it's great, and stay safe. And we hope to see you on the other side of this crazy time and this crazy year. And we hope, you know, we hope you're doing okay. And we appreciate the support for Unsung Heroes and also the support we're getting for our 10th birthday with Our Night Out. So thank you.
So thank you very much for your time. Hope to see you next year when you're on tour again, and we can meet in real life. It's much easier because we got a delay, I think, in and that's sometimes a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
So real-time interview might be much better.
It's nice to chat anyway, but thank you again. And we see you in Bochum or London, yeah? One or the other.
Or in Slovenia.
Exactly. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dose leer. Ich kann nicht mehr. Ab im Bett. Kerpunk. Schönen Dank.
Dieser Podcast wird vermarktet durch die Podcastbude.